Welcome back, everyone, to Working Title here on CGLO 1690 AM. That was just 20s by Ghost and Kingdom by the Devin Townsend Project. And so, Cleo, I was just about to get into the Lazarus heist.
Yes.
So without further ado,
get into it.
I will get into this.
Drink every time Danny says without further ado. I think it's the third time in the intro.
It's the third time I've said it in this That's pretty
like funny. The one intro.
Well, without further ado, I'm just gonna butt on this, you know, like just
yeah, exactly.
So it all started with a malfunctioning printer, just part of modern life, you know, just a normal everyday at the Bangladesh Bank, which the Bangladesh Bank is the country's central bank. So Bangladesh is a country over in it's like central Asia to the left of India. Southern Central Asia is where Bangladesh is located, right? For those that don't know. And so the Bangladesh Bank is the country's central bank. And so this printer that was malfunctioning this morning was a pivotal role. It was located in the bank. It was in a highly secure room on the 10th floor of the bank's main office, the main office in Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh. And its job was to print out the records of multi-million dollar transfers flowing in and out of the bank. And so the staff found it wasn't working at 8:45 on Friday, February 5th, 2016. And they assumed it was a common problem, just like any other day. You know, some glitches have happened like that before. But this was actually the first indication that the bank was in a lot of trouble. Because unbeknownst to the staff at this time, hackers had broken into the computer networks. And at that very moment, were carrying out one of the most audacious cyber attacks that has ever been attempted. And their goal was to steal $1 billion, sorry. not a million, a billion.
Like all this for $1 million.
No, a billion. It's still comical to me that it was just like a billion. It was literally
why
a billion.
Not go for more?
Yeah. And so this heist involves a lot of fake accounts, charities, casinos, and a wide network of accomplices. And it only gets kind of crazier from here. But who were these hackers and where are they from? None other than North Korea. At least the FBI seems to think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And so a little background on this. North Korea according to the FBI, right? That North Korea kind of has a program where they will train brilliant like mathematicians from like a young age, like in their teens, to be like programmers and stuff. And they will have them work as like a programmer, like in a normal like white collar job, but then they will have them like be trained to be hackers for the North Korean government and commit attempt to do cyber attacks and cyber warfare for them.
Wow,
this is all.
So they like scout young proteges I feel like we could do a whole episode on this. Uh-huh. Do they pick a job? Like they give them a corporate job or they let them work a corporate job first and then pick them?
I think they give them a corporate job based on what I can kind of gather from the FBI talking about. Because they talk about how he was able to move between China and North Korea for like 4 years before they sent him back to North Korea when they started getting on his trail for this heist. There's just one particular guy that they're talking about, but he's not really important. Okay. It's just like a little bit to explain how North Korea kind of gets these hackers.
Sorry, I'm too interested.
Exactly. But yeah, that's a side note. So meanwhile, when the staff rebooted the printer, they got some worrying news. It started spitting out, you know, messages like, right, of urgent messages from the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, which is they call it the Fed for short, which I will be referring to whenever I say the Fed, I'm referring to the New York Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve. So Bangladesh keeps a U.S. dollar amount in the U.S. Federal Reserve in New York. They have an account there. So the Fed had received instructions apparently from the Bangladesh Bank to drain the entire account, which was close to $1 billion. So the Bangladeshis tried to contact the Fed for clarification, but thanks to the hackers' careful timing, they couldn't get through because the hack started at 8 p.m. Bangladeshi time on Thursday the 4th on February, but in New York, it was Thursday morning. So it was giving the Fed like plenty of time to carry out the hackers' wishes, because at 8 p.m., they get from the Bangladeshi bank, you know, a legitimate withdrawal that says, hey, we need our entire account drained. Mm-hmm. You know, but it looks legit on their side. So then the next day, Friday, so in Bangladesh, I found out, so the weekend is Friday and Saturday, and they work on Sunday.
And, wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, they just moved the 2 days, right? Is all it is. So imagine like Thursday is your Friday. Oh,
okay, yes, right? Yeah, I got it.
So basically, what they planned this attack on the Thursday night because, so in the morning on Friday, the Bangladesh bank is closed, and on Saturday it's closed. But then when the Bangladesh the bank opens on Sunday, the New York Fed is closed. So it gave the hackers about a 4 day, three to four day lead before the whole discovery was like came to light. Mm-hmm. And so, basically in order to make the money kind of legitimate, they had to transfer the money in multiple places to give themselves more time before like the people could figure out where the money went. Okay. So they set up, you know, accounts in Melania, the capital of the Philippines. They set up, you know, accounts in China. They set up accounts like, you know, all over, right? Like all across Asia. And Monday, that 8th also happened to be the first Lunar New Year of a national holiday the first Lunar New Year, the national holiday in Asia. So it was like even more banks were closed. So it's like this attack was planned for this weekend, which was really crazy. Mm-hmm. And so they had plenty of time to plan all this because the Lazarus Group. Oh, so they called it the Lazarus Group. There you go. That's why.
Okay.
Not even. So the Lazarus Group had been lurking inside the Bangladeshi's bank computer systems for over a year. And I'll get to. So they were sitting in the bank's computers for a year and they didn't even do anything.
Wow.
Exactly. And so I'll get to that in a little bit, because next I have a very, very exciting song that I'm ready to play for you guys. So Tool is a band that I love. Mm-hmm. I grew up loving them. They were great. You know, I grew up listening to people talk about and make jokes like, is there a new Tool album going to be released in my lifetime? Never. It's never going to happen, right? And so finally, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we finally get a Tool album that gets released. Oh my God, it's the hypest thing ever. It's the biggest thing ever. And me, a Tool fan, I'm going to say it. I'm sorry, Maynard, disappointed. Yeah. it's a good album. Not for me, you know, mm-hmm. like not what I wanted from Tool, right?
You lose some, I'm sure this, Maynard understands.
Yes, exactly. But this song called, they already have a song called Opiate. So it's called Opiate Squared with the little two up at the top. And it's Tool back in its proper form. Okay. And when I mean proper form, I mean full blown, the 10 minute song proper form. So get ready for this experience. It's Metal March. We're about to hit you with 10 minutes of Tool.
Oh my God.
And I've already listened to half the song. It's classic Tool. If you're a fan, you're going to love it. If you're not, I'm sorry, but you're going to
come back in
this.
10 minutes.
Come back in 10 minutes. Go get yourself a coffee. Go to the bathroom.
Take a nice walk.
Contemplate your life without Tool for 10 minutes.
Thank a woman in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
For not making you listen to Tool. Okay. No,
and we'll be right back after this song. So stay right here on CGLO 6090 AM.
Choices always were a problem for you. What you need is someone strong to guide you. Deaf and blind and dumb and born to follow.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope your third eye has been opened by that lovely tool experience.
You're still here.
If you're still here. Yeah, back to the Lazarus heist. So they've been lurking in the bank system for a year.
I love that.
And that was to plan out this elaborate escape, because the idea was not the fact, it wasn't because according to the way the hackers kind of ran this heist is getting to the money was not what they were worried about. It was hiding it and getting away with it is what they were worried about. And so in January 2015, a year before the heist, and, you know, innocuous looking email was sent to several of the Bangladesh employees. It came from a job seeker calling himself Razul Alam. And he did a polite inquiry that, you know, included an invitation to download his CV, a cover letter from his website. But in reality, Razul didn't exist. He was simply a cover name being used by the group. And according to FBI investigators, at least one person inside the bank fell for the trick, downloaded the documents, and they infected viruses on the inside of their computer. And then once they were inside one computer, they began slowly, you know, hopping from computer to computer and working their way towards the digital vaults. And then they stopped. And so that all those phishing emails and all those stuff that work makes you sit through to be, to do the cybersecurity, it happens, guys. It can lead to a $1 billion heist.
Oh my God. It's insane. I was talking to a friend the other day and I was telling him that I scanned a QR code outside of my work and it led to this server or something. And he was like, what if someone hacked people by doing that. A QR code on the screen and having them scan it? And I was like, oh my God.
That literally happens, you know? Yeah. It's like, that's it. It's like, you should never download random stuff, even if it's on your phone.
You could lose $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. You could lose $1 billion. And so they did this early because they took their time because they were setting up all of their escape routes. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, but the escape routes would ultimately lead to their downfall. And we'll get to why this, what happened with this whole heist. And so Jupiter Street is a busy thoroughfare street in Melania, the capital of Philippines, or Manila, sorry. Manila is the capital of Philippines. And, it's next to an RBC, one of the country's largest banks. And this was one of the banks that the hackers used for their escape routes, right? Mm-hmm. And so they did this in multiple banks, setting up an account and they set up multiple accounts in multiple banks, all with the initial deposit of like $500. Mm-hmm. And when the FBI kind of went back, and in hindsight, there was a lot of suspicious red flags with these accounts, like all the driver's licenses that were used to set up the accounts were all fakes. All the applicants had exactly the same job title and salary, despite all working at different companies, but no one seemed to notice. And so their initial $500 deposit sat untouched in these accounts all over the world while they worked on the aspects of their plan. Yeah. So
very lucky, I feel, that no one noticed.
I know. So February 26th, they've hacked into the bank. They're getting ready to wire the money. The printer on the 10th floor, has a backup system to record all the transfers from its accounts, right? Mm-hmm. But the record of these transactions risked exposing the hacker's work instantly. So they hacked into the software controlling it and they took it out of action. And so with their tracks covered, it's now 8:30 at night on February 4th. The hackers began making the transfers, 35 in all, to 35 different accounts, totaling for $951 million. Okay, almost the entire contents of the Bangladesh bank account, like they were robbing a country. But just like in a Hollywood movie, a single tiny detail would ruin the entire plan. So as they discovered, the Bangladeshi bank sort of discovering the missing money over the course of the weekend, they were struggling to work out what happened, and basically the bank managers were getting fired. They found out that the thieves, the reason they were able to gain access and have legitimate credentials to make these transactions is because they were able to hack in to relevant software, the bank SWIFT software. that and so they were using the, they were able to exploit the vulnerability in SIFT, which which allowed them to transfer large sums of money, because normally banks are using SWIFT and are able to transfer large sums like that without it, you know, causing a red flag, right? And so, yeah, I'm realizing I got another song I need to play. So we'll get to the single point of failure after the break, but I'll keep everyone on the edge of their seat. But yeah, I was excited to see SWIFT's involvement in this, because, you know, I'm reading, you know, all about SWIFT getting shut down in Russia and all that, how that was like a huge big deal, you know, for this war going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I didn't even connect that right away. Jesus.
And so that's why I was like, oh, it's cool that they're talking about the software. Like it's, you know, yeah. So, yeah, but anyway, we got another Canadian band coming up for you guys, another metal band. This one is more of your classic 80s hair screamo kind of metal, but it's, I think, if you're going to listen to anything, it might as well be Deadly Sinners by 3 Inches of Blood. Great Canadian band. Great Canadian band. Awesome. And a great introduction to a kind of like metal scream. Like, I'm a guy who hates Cookie Monster metal screaming, right? But this is some screaming that I can get behind.
You get behind. Okay.
All right. And so, I was about to say, without further ado, drink some Deadly Sinners.
Oh,
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Working Title. And so, Cleo, our single point of failure. What happened that stopped
this? What is this downfall?
So, basically, there was a... So, the U.S. Congress kind of got involved after everything was kind of going on. Like, the news kind of broke that the Bangladeshi bank has been hacked. And because this is, like, it's over the course of, like, 4 days, right? Mm-hmm. And... And so a U.S. senator by the name of, where's her name? It's Carolyn Mulaney, was talking to the New York Federal Bank and basically figured out that when she found out, like, how did these transactions go through? She was trying to figure out what, and they said, actually, they were able, they said the system actually blocked all but $20 million. So that the transfers were legit, the transfers were going through, but then an automated part of the system stopped everything but $20 million. And the reason these transactions were held up is because the Fed's fraud system, or not even fraud system, but like the system that would red flag these transactions, flagged the word Jupiter, which was the name of the street that one of the banks that they were trying to transfer on was the one in the Philippines. Okay. And the reason Jupiter was marked is there was a sanctioned Iranian shipping vessel with the same name. And so when the word Jupiter popped up on the transaction to Manila, mm-hmm. it started a bunch of red flags for all of the other transfers that were going out, except one that ended up going to a Sri Lankan charity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did they call it like the Jupiter heist?
Oh, actually. Oh, I'm sorry. No, five transactions. It's not just the 20 million got over, but it was a total of 81 million got through.
I mean, that's
it's still a
big chunk. Yeah, that's a big chunk of money. That's crazy.
Exactly. So it was, so they still got five transactions through out of the 35, I think it's, I said they had. Yeah, 35. So they got five transfers out of 35. And so this is where it's crazy, because since they made off with still 81 million, they still use their regular kind of means of trying to hide it. The money was swapped to accounts. It was sent to currency exchanges. And then finally, they went to a region in China known as Macau. Mm-hmm. Which is known for having like a, I mean, it's not known for this, but it has like a lot of gambling dens, and like it has kind of like a Vegas-y vibe. And so what they did was they cut a deal, like in order to make this money legit, they cut a deal with some people at the casinos, played in the back room for, with this money. And as soon as the money gets turned into chips and then back into money again, it's not the trail ends.
Okay.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And so they exchanged all their money into chips. They went into a back room, presumably said, "Hey, we just stole a bunch of money. We'll give you a $2,000 cut if you keep your mouth shut and help us make this legit." You know. And that's it.
Wow.
And now they're still trying to find the rest of this money.
Interesting. So they're looking at like the casino that they went to and trying to figure out.
Exactly.
Like,
the casino was the last place. And so they had they have like six suspects, I think is what it says here.
Wow, that's so fascinating. I wonder how. I feel like that's a real kind of, you got to just talk to the employees at the casino and check the security tapes, like a real, very much like a movie for sure.
Exactly. But so that's the Lazarus heist. So it's still ongoing. You can look up into, there's definitely a bunch that I didn't touch about in terms of like small details and like, if you want to see the intricacies of what these hackers kind of did, but still absolutely wild.
It's crazy. I honestly am not like, I'm surprised that things like this don't happen more, or maybe just, I don't know about them happening.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm like, it seems so kind of easy to get away with like, and also nobody really cares that much if you rob a bank, I feel, other than like, as long as you're not hurting somebody, like the government is the person that cares the most, kind of. I don't really know what kind of economic damage it does, but
yeah, no, I think
people would do it more often.
There's a Jake Gyllenhaal movie, I think, coming out where he's a bank robber, and it's kind of got that whole idea where they're like bank robbers, but they don't kill anybody.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I saw a trailer for it. It's like ridiculous. Over the course of a trailer, they show the bank heist going wrong. And then eventually, like the whole, I think, premise of the movie is they've stolen an ambulance, Jake Gyllenhaal and this guy. Okay. And the chick from Fast and Furious is a paramedic in the back of the ambulance. Michelle Rodriguez. Rodriguez, who's trying to resuscitate a cop that one of these guys shot in this ambulance.
And
they hijack the ambulance, and it's like a hostage situation. So they're like, don't want to kill the ambulance because there's a cop in there with her and the other guys. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal's really been doing some weird movies lately.
It sounds totally wild, but just you mentioned it. There's a line in it where he's literally like, we don't hurt anyone. We're just here for the money, you know.
But I mean that you're still dying if it's ever a hostage situation. But that's, yeah, exactly. That's out the window.
No, and that's kind of it. Is I think like the whole premise of the movie is they're like, you know, quote unquote good bank robbers, and then he gets dragged into a hostage situation, and it's like, you know. Well, how are you a good guy now, right?
Yeah, of course. And obviously, if you're robbing a bank, you're still inflicting a bunch of problems. Don't rob banks, kids.
Yeah, yes, but exactly.
Steal from the government.
I'm pretty sure everybody that we've talked about robbing a bank has either not gotten away with it or has been killed.
Yeah.
learn from Machine Gun Molly, everybody.
But hey, maybe that's just because we don't know, you know, ones that got away with it.
I remember there was a whole heist, I think it was in London, where it's like a whole like city block got its power cut, and it was like this whole big thing, and then they found out a couple days later, like in the middle of this city, this whole power outage, there was like a jewelry heist that happened.
Oh wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's the best time. What we're saying is, if you robbed a bank, come on our show.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell us how you got away with it.
That's it. Right, I'm sure there's some, like, you know, what do they call it, the double jeopardy, where if you've already been tried and acquitted, you can come and talk about the heist, no problem, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's off the record. It's fine.
Yeah. Yep. But wow. So I'm gonna hit you guys with another ad break, and then we'll come back for the end of our show. But yeah, crazy.
Crazy story. Very crazy. Stuff. Yeah. I know, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me.
I know.
And so very recent. 2016 seems like it was, you know, last year.
I know. It's crazy. But here, we'll be right back with some more working title after this ad break.